All right, so we're starting up with, we're continuing with the Yesodei Torah for the Rambam. Last time we spoke about basically the first parak of Yesodei Torah, going through a couple of things. We ended off with the very beginning of the second parak, two perspectives from the Rambam as to what one perspective, one way to get to Avas Hashem. Yeah, sorry, Akiva, I just muted you. A lot of background noise because you're in the base measures, which is Gishman. All good. T.A. Yosef. So one perspective on Avas Hashem from the Rambam was you get to Ava by understanding the world, seeing the Bria, seeing what Hashem created. We explain that as saying the more you see the things that a person puts together, the more you can kind of get a sense of who they are, what they are, what their priorities are, and things like that. And you see that a lot from the world. The other thing, the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, good to see you, Jano. The other thing was, if you look in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam very much points to learning Torah as the source of Avas Hashem. He quoted a medrash, how am I supposed to know, how am I supposed to learn how to love Hashem? Continue in the Pasuk, all these things that I commanded you, if you learn those things, again, you're getting a sense of things like that. Morning, Yochanan. That's how you get to love Hashem, and that's the Artu Derachim. We spoke about what's the relationship between these two ideas. Are they different perspectives, or are they kind of synthesized? And we brought a quote from Rav Hirsch in the 19 letters, letter 18, note number 1, spoke about how the two things, which are the direct creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are nature and Torah. We know that Torah came even before nature. Yisakel Lo'araisa, Ubara Alma, Hashem looked into the world and used that as the blueprints. Looked into the Torah and used that as the blueprints to create the entire world. And those are our two ways of really understanding Da'as Hashem, in the 19 letters, to see the way Rav Hirsch kind of uses looking at nature in a broad sense to understand a little bit of Hashem's perspective and goals in creating the world. So the next couple of parakim of Yesodei HaTorah are like not really science, but quasi-science. The Rambam says, I just told you the way to get to Avas Hashem is to learn about the world that God created. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an intro into the way Hashem set up the world, which is fascinating, right? The Mishnah Torah is a halachic work, very much meant to be halacha, replacing Torah Shebaal Peh, replacing the Gemara, and as the source of Torah Shebaal, as the repository of Torah Shebaal Peh, which we spoke about in the first shiur. And he felt it was necessary to give me almost two full prakim, two and a half, three prakim of, it's not science, I wouldn't call it science, but an introduction to the way the world works, which is really, really cool. We're not going to go through all of it. We'll explain why in a few minutes. But one thing I wanted to point out in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, this is just very interesting to know, not something you generally get much information about, and it's cool to see the Rambam talk about it. The Rambam Beis Zayin, Shinui Shemos HaMalachim Al Shem Ma'alasam Hu. He tells me about different types of malachim, different types of angels. And he says, you're reading Tanakh, and you see different names of angels coming up. Are they just random? Are they synonyms for each other? Am I supposed to know the difference between this type of angel and that one? So he says, yeah, the different names used for malachim actually tell you that they're different levels. L'fichach mikraim, chayos hakodesh, behem l'malam min hakol. If you've heard about the chayos, they're the highest level of angels. They're incredible Gemaras in Chagiga. Awesome. Agadita is talking about how the way the world is set up. So there's one Gemara there that says that there's a certain amount of time or space distance from the Yaron, help me out, the feet of the Chayos to the legs, and from the legs to the shoulders, and the shoulders up to the whatever, and it goes higher and higher and higher, and that's how much space there is from like Earth all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. It's some unimaginable distance. I think I did the math once, and it was a big number. Again, obviously it's not pshat, but the Chayos are like what's right below the Kisei HaKavod. They're the top dog angels. Then what do you get? Ofanim. So Ofanim are the circle angels, the wheel angels. They may be the wheels for their Merkava, for Hashem's chariot, whatever that means. But they apparently look like wheels or circles. Ere'elim. Then the Chashmalim. You guys know what Chashmal is?
Electricity?
Modern word is electricity. Presumably it came from the Psukim in Yecheskel, which talk about these Chashmal angels. In this Agadita in Chagiga, one of my favorite Agaditas in all of Shas, There's this awesome line. The Gemara is having this discussion. What is chashmal? A kid says that a tinok or a yinuka was doresh as what is chashmal, and he was struck by lightning or something. He was burned up. He was killed. Immediately, the next line in the Gemara is my chashmal. Like, we just finished telling you that a kid tried to be doresh what chashmal was and died. Now the Gemara is going to ask, oh, this sounds interesting. What's chashmal? So you probably shouldn't find out what the answer to that question is. But chashmal is a name for the next level of angels. Then the seraphim, we talk about the seraphim all the time. Malachim is a general, is a kolel name, but it's also a specific name. And then you have the Elohim, or Elohim, angels, uvene Elohim, a lower level, ukruvim, beishim. We know about the kruvim from Gan Eden. We know about the kruvim from the Beis HaMikdash. And then finally, the ishim. Kol elu asara hashemos shenikru behanam alachim al shem eser mylos shelahen heim. These 10 different names are 10 different levels. Umayla shein lamala mimena elamala sakel baruchu imala satsura shenikru es chayos. The highest level is the chayos. The bichach namar benevua shein tachas kisei hakavod. That's why we describe them as being below the kisei hakavod, because they're the highest level of angels. Umala asiris, the lowest level, imala satsura shenikru es ishim. You'll see this in Yeshaya and Yecheskel, a lot of Yecheskel, I think, different Neviim talking to Ishim. Who are those? These aren't people. These are the lowest level of angels. They actually appear in a physical form in whatever a Nevuah apparition looks like. And that's actually why they're called Ishim, because they're the closest level to Ma'alas Bnei Adam. I have nothing to add to that Rambam. It's just interesting to see that the Rambam tells me like who different malachim are, that there's like a level system. I never knew that. And that was really cool. Okay, next piece. So we're going to start off with, again, a Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga. Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga, very beginning of the second parak, which introduces all these awesome agaditas. This is where the Pardes agadita is in Acher, right? Acher is the Elisha ben Avuya, went off the Derech. His student Reb Meir, learning from him. Incredible line. You should only learn from a Rebbe who's like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos. Kind of begs the question what you guys are doing here right now. But you should only learn from a Rebbe who's like a Malach Hashem. It's an awesome parak just to learn for fun. So the Mishnah says, "Ein." This is a bit Beis Aleph. "Ein dorshin ba'arayos b'shlosha v'lo b'maisa b'reishis b'shnayim v'lo b'merkava b'yachid." A Rebbe should not give shir in sugyos of arayos to three students, meaning he can only give shir in inyoni arayos to two to make sure they're paying attention. "V'lo b'maisa b'reishis b'shnayim." In this concepts of maisa b'reishis, he can't even give to two students. It can only be a one-on-one. V'lo b'merkava b'yachid. And you can't even teach an individual Talmud the sugyas of, or the ideas of, maisa merkava. Well, like, how is anybody supposed to learn it? So Mishnah continues, Elim kein hayachacham umeivin mitaito. He needs to be able to basically understand, he needs to be able to understand the basics on his own. If a student can understand the basics on his own, the Rebbe can help him along a little bit, give him hints and help him take steps on his own, but he shouldn't be giving him a drasha in these ideas of maisa merkava. Then barba dvarim, kol mistakel barba dvarim ra'u lo ki'ilu lo bali olam. Anybody who tries to understand or looks into the following four things, it's better if he weren't created. What are those four things? Mala 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 mata malifnim umale achor. Very, very concise. What does it mean? What's above? What's below? What's before and what's after? So the Gemara says, Bartanura brings down, what's above the Roshe HaChayos, meaning what's really going on in the Olamos HaElyonim? What's going on by the Kisei HaKavod? Obviously, we're not going to understand that. It's not possible for us to understand. We're Gashmi, that's Ruchni. Malimata, what's below? Malimata mitachas aretz. Right, you guys know that. I think it's like a Greek something, that the world is really just standing on the backs of elephants, which are standing on the backs of turtles. You know about this?
Turtles all the way down?
I think so. Where's that from? Is that the Hitchhiker's Guide? Or is that like a real Greek thing?
It's a book that I read, but I think it's an actual quote. I just don't know where it's from.
I think it's a real thing. It may be Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but I think it's a real thing. Somehow it's turtles all the way down to the bottom. Where's the bottom? That's the point. So Malamata, we're not going to understand what the world is standing on. Malifnim Malachor. That's either east and west, or maybe more likely, what came before time started, meaning what was going on before the world was created. And Malachor, this one's actually fascinating. We're not supposed to spend our time trying to understand what's going to happen in Olam Haba, in Yimos HaMashiach, the end of days. The Gadatas in Perek Chelek, I think, reinforced this, that we're really not supposed to be wasting our time, spending our time thinking about those types of things. When Mashiach shows up, he'll introduce us to what's going to happen. He'll tell us about the changes. But that's not what we should be focusing our time and our perspective on Olam Hazeh and making an impact on the world that Hashem put us in.
Okay. Is there like a reasoning behind that?
I think the basic reasoning is it's not relevant to us. Meaning Hashem put us in a field of play. He put us in the arena where we're meant to have an impact. And all these metaphysical, what happened before time, what's going to happen after, what's above the highest, Kisei HaKavod, there's no nafkamina, right? The Torah tells us the things that we need to know. It tells us the things about Hashem that we should be aware of. And everything else is pure speculation. It's pure speculation that we can't actually understand in any real way just because of the way we're made up. Gashmi versus Ruchni, where it's a fish can't understand that he's living in water, whatever mushel you want to give. And it's just, there's no practical toeles to those types of explorations. I think that it's more than just no toeles, it's also dangerous. If you were led astray with the turtle thing, that just confuses you and sends you down the wrong path, then what did you gain? You just messed yourself over. The Mishnah is saying, why waste your time with these types of theoretical speculations? Focus on the things that matter. Go create the Bayichan program to do something and help the world in a real way. Okay.
We got your pitch.
Good. So the Rambam in Perek Beis, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, and then in Dalet, Yud Yud Beis, references this Mishnah. In the end of Perek Beis, he says, Devarim Elu She'amarnu Binyan Zeb Bishnei Prakim Elu. The end of Perek Aleph, which spoke about who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as much as that's possible. And then what we spoke about in Perek Beis, the introduction to a little bit of the science or meta-science, that's Tipa Min Hayom. It's like a drop in a bucket of what reality is. It's going to be a very helpful text to have a Rambam Yisodiyat Torah open in front of you, just so you can read along with me. This was Beis Yud Aleph Yud Beis. This is Maisa Merkava. So the Rambam says, when the Mishnah says Maisa Merkava, we're not supposed to be spending. You shouldn't be teaching unless you're a Talmud. You should only teach a Talmud who's already holding himself and can figure out the basics on his own. That's what we're talking about. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? All these things. Don't spend your time so much on this. Then he says, Tzivu Chachamim Harishonim, Shelo Lidrosh B'Dvarim Heilu, like we just said. This is not something which you're supposed to kind of spread publicly. This should only be for the Yechidei Segula, kind of what they say about learning Kabbalah, those types of things. Hold off on this type of learning until you're pretty far down the line. That was Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. In Dalet, Yud Yud Beis, the very end of Perek Dalet, after explaining a little bit more of the, I guess you can call it the rational science, he talks about the four elements, right? Fire, earth, wind, and water, and how those make up all the different parts of the world. I think that was the go-to understanding of how the world works when the Rambam was back there. Kol dvarim ha'elu shadibarnu be'inyan zeh kimar midli heim u'dvarim amukim heim. These are all deep ideas. Aval enam kinyan omek perek rishon v'sheni. However, they're not as deep as the first two perekim. Uvir kol elu ha'dvarim in the third and fourth perek. That's nikra ma'ase bereishis. So we have ma'ase merkava is the metaphysics of what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the spiritual elements of the world, the malachim. And then three and four, that's the yidias ha'teva, that type of stuff, is ma'ase bereishis. That can be taught, but that should be taught more on a one-on-one to make sure that the person is following and actually understanding what you're saying. Ma bein inyan ma'aser merkava inyan ma'aser bereishis. What's the difference between the two topics? Inyan ma'aser merkava afil lechad ein dorshim bo. Like we just said, inyan ma'aser bereishis, you can actually teach that, but you should make sure that he understands and is following. Very good. Okay, how does the Rambam end off that halacha? Anybody who puts in the time and learns these topics, Mosif Ava Limakom, he gains or grows an Ava towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'titza Mei Nafsho, V'yikameh B'saro, Le'ehov HaMakom Baruch Hu, he'll grow, he'll love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more, he'll desire HaKadosh Baruch Hu more, What was it? Tama nafshi lelokim, kama lecha nafshi, v'yare v'yipached. It's not just av, it's also yira. This is the way the second parak was introduced. Mishif luso v'daluso v'kaluso, k'shiyare chatzmo lecha mi'agubus ha'kadosh ma'kadolim. When you compare yourself as a human to everything else that Hashem created in the world, and he talks about the constellations, he talks about the sun, moon, and the stars, he talks about everything, which are these huge, unimaginably massive creations that Hashem made and set up a system for them to exist in, that's going to help you understand what it's going to give you perspective of how you should be relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a nothing in the broader scheme of the world. This is Tehillim Ches. Everybody should take a look at Tehillim Ches and the dialectic there, that on the one hand, we're nothing, but if we accept Haras Hashem, then we become the highest thing in the world, the most uplifted thing in the world. This is the two sides, the two aspects of Ava and Yira. They both come from a proper understanding of the way that Hashem created the world. I think it's fair to say, and Rav Schechter says this all the time, Chazal and the Rishonim were dealing with the science that they had available to them. It's not going to be so beneficial for us to spend our time learning the Rambam. Maybe Aleph and Bey is a little bit different, but definitely Gimel and Dalet. That's his understanding of the world's understanding of how the world worked at that time. We should spend our time. If this is what gets you excited, if this is what speaks to you, spend your time on biology, spend your time on history, spend your time on physics and mathematics, whatever. We said Chachmas and Musica, we said music according to the Gra. There are so many different areas of that Hashem built into the world that are potential ways for you to tap into the Chachmas Hashem and be inspired by the world that Hashem created. These are incredible ways to spend your time, and you can say it's a kiyum of a mitzvah d'oraisa of avas Hashem yiras Hashem. Two of the most important mitzvahs you can do. The Chovas HaLevavo says these types of mitzvahs are even more important than the practical doing mitzvahs. The feeling mitzvahs are more important than the doing mitzvahs. So when you go to whatever university you end up going to, try not to waste your time in your college classes. You're doing significant things there. That's real yidia. That's really important yidia. The more of a good understanding you can get as to the way the way Hashem created the world, and that's on a macro scale and a micro scale, sociology and psychology and all those different things are part of this question. The better understanding you have of the way that Hashem created the world, the more potential you have to grow and build your avas Hashem. Okay. Continuing, this is Dalid Yud Gimel, right? We just said we had Yud through Yud Beis. Now the Rambam kind of summarizes the four Prakim as a package. In Yanei Abra'a Prakim Elu, Shebachamesh Mitzvos Elu, Hem Shechacham Rishonim Karin Oso Pardes. These five mitzvos, Emunah Ba'Hashem, Yichud Hashem, Ava Yira, are the concepts that Chazal called pardes. We mentioned pardes is found in the Gemara in Chagiga. Arba nichnasu lepardes. Rabbi Akiva was the only one who actually came out sane, actually came out normal, and had it as a positive growth experience. Acher was nichnas lepardes. Elisha ben Avuya was nichnas lepardes, which the Rambam says means he spent a lot of time thinking deeply about these five mitzvos and went off the derech. It was too much for him. Jano, that probably relates to your question. Why does the Mishnah Chagiga, why does Chazal tell us not to get involved with this unless you're a Bar Hafi? Because it's at least there's a certain amount of danger. And then I think Ben Zoma and Ben Azai were the other two. One went crazy and the other one died, right? Yeah. So definitely not something that you should be spending your time on until you've reached that level, until you're a Rebbe Akiva type person. So the Rambam says, how do you get there? Vani Omer, Shein Roi Letayo Bepardes Elamisha Nismale Kreso Lechem Ubasar. The only person who should go take a walk in the Pardes is somebody who's already filled up his stomach with meat and bread. What is that? That's Leida Asar Vamutar Chayotze Vamishar Mitzvos. You should know Halacha, Havayos, the Abai Virava. You should know the Sugis of Shas. The Rambam says in the next line, Afal Pikein Ruyin Him Lakdiman. Even though Maisim Rakava and Maisim Bereshis are more Chashuv, it's still important and crucial for the Sugyas, for the basic knowledge to come first. Shehein Miyashvin Daito Shaladim Tchila. Why should I learn through Shas? Why do I need to know Halacha? Number one, Miyashvin Daito Shaladim Tchila. That puts you in the right mindset, teaches you how to think, teaches you how to work, think with a Jewish cup, I guess you could say. That's number one. V'od Shehein HaTova HaGadola Sheishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYishuv HaOlam Awesome line. What does it say? It again. The Havayos Dabayev Rabba, the Sugyos of Shas, Yidias Halacha and Mitzvos, is the Tova Hagadola. It's the great goodness that Hashem was mashpia into the world, he injected into the world, leyishuva olam, so that the world could function in a positive way. Kedelin chol, chaye olam haba, so that we all, Jews, maybe even more than that, kol boi ha'olam, kol yoshvei ha'olam, everybody can be nochel, chayolam haba, if we're running our lives according to the way Hashem wants us to run our lives, which ideally is what halacha is meant to give us, not just what we do, but how we think, our perspectives, our value system, that's what the real toeles of learning Torah is, learning through mitzvos is meant to be. Efshar sheyeda aim, we're going to look for a diuk in this line, efshar sheyeda aim hakol, everybody can know what I'm talking about, the havayas, the havayas, rabba, everybody can know Gemara, katan v'gadol, older, younger, that could be age, that could be chachma, whichever. Ish v'isha, ba'alev rachav v'ba'alev katzer. Whether you have a broad understanding or a very narrow understanding, whatever your intellect is, you have a place in learning. Don't think that learning is beyond you. What's the surprising one that the Rambam includes here? Again, we're talking about havayas, habay v'rava. We're talking about learning shas. All you modern Orthodox people. Let's just flip over to the Rambam Hilchos Tam HaTorah first. Right? If you have Yesodei HaTorah, Tam HaTorah is the third section. Sorry, if you have a Mada, the Tam HaTorah is the third section in Rambam Sefer Mada. Go to Aleph Yud Gimel. Aleph Yud Gimel in the Rambam, Talmud Torah, Isha Shalim de Torah, Yesh La Schar, Aval Eno Kischar Ha'ish. A woman who learns Torah, she gets Schar, but it's not the same as a man. Mimesh learning Stave, she's not commanded in Lima Torah. V'chola Osa Dabar, Shein Mitzvah Alav, La'aso So Ein Schar, Kischar Mitzvah Sha'asa, Ela Pachos Mimene. Right? We know Gadol Mitzvah V'yosa, Mimeshein Mitzvah V'yosa, that's not surprising. V'yafal Pish Yesh La Schar, even though a woman gets Schar for learning, Sivu Chachamim Shalo Yelamed Adam Es Bito Torah. Chazal said, a man should not teach his daughter Torah. Most women are not set up for learning. They take Torah and they make it into something which is not silly, non-significant, I guess you could say, based on their paucity of understanding. If you teach your daughter Torah, it's like you taught her. I'm not sure a good translation for tiflos, vanity, maybe a lack of tznius in a certain way. That this is true for Torah Shabbal Peh, like Havayas Dabai V'Rava and Shas, but we're less concerned, we're more okay, still not L'Chachila, but we're more okay with Torah Shabbal Chsav.
Why would that make a difference? Seemingly Torah Shabbal Chsav is more... I don't know, like more Torah. I don't know how to say it. That seemingly that would make more sense for them not to learn even more. Because more serious. I guess more serious is the word.
More serious?
I guess so.
I'm not sure. Like, first of all, I'm not sure if we can make a distinction in terms of like real Torah between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh. There are different perspectives as to what the relationship is. I think the one that I'm not sure. I can't say for sure. I think the Rambam says in the Hagdama the relationship between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh that they're inextricably linked. The Torah Shabbat Peh is just the pshat and the explanation of the pirush of Torah Shabbat. Right. So it's almost more. I think more surprising the way you're saying that. Rather them learn the basics without the pshat, and we don't want them to learn pshat in Torah Shabbat, that seems very surprising. Right, so that I think mitzad that, that's a good question. If you need Torah Shabbat Peh to understand Torah Shabbat, then how can you say, let's learn Torah Shabbat Tzav and like prescribe Torah Shabbat Peh and say that's not okay?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how great of an answer this is, but I think it's pretty good. I don't know, you can tell me what you think. I heard that just Torah Shvachtav, since it's written down, since it's like there and more clear, it's not something that they can. I think another way to translate the word, what was the word that you said? It was the one of the words that you like were a little, if you like, you weren't sure how to translate it. Like they, right? That they like construed it, misconstrued it, right?
Yeah.
Right. So if it's Torah Shvachtav, that's written down, that's harder to misconstrue than something that's Torah Shvachtav Al Peh that takes a lot more, I guess, it's not as clear. It's something that's passed down that can be misunderstood.
It's a svara. For the Rambam, the Torah Shabbat Pabba is already written down, though, so I'm not sure if that svara would kind of hold true for him. If that was, like, the main thing that was going on, it was already written down. So I would expect him to say, like, if that was the reason, it kind of no longer applies. I think we do understand the Torah, that you can read through Shnai Mikra and not come up with any major difficulties and understand what's going on. You try to read through a black Gemara and, like, nothing makes any sense, and you just sat through an entire morning Seder not understanding a single word that you read. I think we're both familiar. We're all familiar with both of those experiences, and that kind of points to the definite relative difficulty of Torah Baal Peh over Torah Besav. But let's just connect this back to Dalai Gimel and Yisodiyat Torah. How can the Rambam say, end off his big, this is Pardes, this is the biggest thing, Efshar Sheyedei Makol, Katan Megadol, Ish V'Isha, Ba'alev Racha, Ba'alev Katzar. We're talking about Havayas Davayev Rav, we're talking about Shas, Torah Shabbal Peh. How can the Rambam so enthusiastically endorse women learning Gemara in Yisodiyat Torah, and just a few sections later tell me that we're so strongly against women learning? Big stira. So the Rav Rabinovich, I guess that's Al, just passed away. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Ma'alei Adumim. So his magnum opus was a set of svarim known as the Yad Pshuta. He wrote a commentary on almost the entire Rambam. So in his notes, in the Yad Pshuta, he actually points this out and says, if you compare these two halachos, that seems to be a big problem. Here, the Rambam is enthusiastic. Women, go ahead, go learn. Whereas in Talmud Torah, he's very clearly against it. So what's pshat? So he's medayek in a fascinating way. In Dalet Yud Gimel, who's coming to me and saying, I want to learn? Right, who's coming to the Rebbe? Who's coming to the Shir, the Gemara Shir, the Daf Yomi, and saying, I want to learn? In Dalet Yud Gimel in Yisodiyat Torah, where the Rambam is so enthusiastic. It's probably clearer in Talmud Torah, right? I'll read the Rambam in Talmud Torah again.
That one talks about daughter.
Yes, very good, right? In Talmud Torah, it's Shelo Yilamid Adam as Bito Torah. That's where you get into problems. If it's a father trying to force his daughter into learning and she's not interested, it's going to lead to these issues. However, in Yisodiyat Torah, there's no father trying to teach his daughter something she's not interested in. This is the woman coming to us and saying, I want to learn. This is some. I want access to this Miyashvin Daito Shaladim Tchila. I want this Tovu Gedola. Shishpia Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyishav Olam Hazeh Kedei Limchol Chaye Olam Haba. That sounds awesome. I want Avas Hashem the same way everybody else wants Avas Hashem. So how can you hold this back from me if it's coming from that perspective of Lama Nigara, right? Of I want the same access to Avas Hashem as everybody else has. That's a beautiful thing. That's fantastic. The Rambam says we endorse that wholeheartedly. What we're not thrilled about, what we're not looking for, is when a father decides, I'm going to force my daughter to learn something. That's not her tachlis. That's not her chelik. That's not what she's necessarily going for. That's not something you should be forcing on her. If she decides on her own that this is something which I'm going to connect to, this is going to be my way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, building this Abba, building this era through an understanding of who Hashem is and how he works, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. But it should not come from a father forcing it on his daughter. You guys still with me? Okay, great. Okay, so let's continue. So that was Perek Dalet. Aleph through Dalet, we spoke about whatever we could understand of Yichud Hashem, what Hashem is. Beis was the synthesis of Ava and Yira, different modes or different strategies to getting to Avas Hashem. And then we spoke a little bit about Malachim, and then who Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereishis, and who's Ra'ui for Torah Shabbal Peh. We're moving into Perek Hei of Yisodiyat Torah. Perek Hei of Yisodiyat Torah is the Perek on Kiddush Hashem. The entire Perek is dedicated to discussing Kiddush Hashem. Now, number one, it's fascinating that it made it into Sefer Mada, and not only Sefer Mada, into Yisodiyat Torah, right? Kiddush Hashem is not just one other mitzvah, and we understand it's an important mitzvah. The Rambam considered Kiddush Hashem as one of the most fundamental mitzvahs you can possibly have. How fundamental? It's number six, right? It's number six in the list, and the Sefer Mitzvahs is number nine. Here it's number six. You can't get much higher than number six on the list, and there are 613 of them. That's pretty good. So I spent a lot of time learning this perek from Rav Meir Tversky. I was in a shiur in YU, my first year in YU. I was in a shiur for 3 years. My first year in YU, we were doing Maseches Ksubos, and then September, November time, his brother was killed, and it was murdered in Har Nof. So he flew in for the Shiva. When he came back, we didn't really know what was going to happen. We continued in Ksubos, what's happening. He told everybody to bring a Rambam Yesodei Torah to shiur, and we spent the next 4 or 5 months, the rest of the semester, and I think the most of the next semester also, we moved away from Ksubos and spent the entire time on Sugyos of Kiddush Hashem, spending the first month and a half on this parak of the Rambam. We would go halacha by halacha, making diukim in the Rambam, comparing it to other sugyas, seeing where he got it from. Really, really incredible. And obviously, based on the context of where Tversky was coming from, that was a very powerful experience. So there's a lot of stuff in this parak, and even in the first halacha. There's a lot to talk about. We're not going to go so much into the actual sugyas of Kiddush Hashem. We're going to try to pull out a little bit more of like the Machshav Ti Hashkafa ideas. So if you let's open up this very first halacha in Hey Aleph. Well, I think we'll just get started today. We're going to continue with this next week. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem Hagadol Hazeh. So Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire Jewish, I don't know how to say that, the entire Jewish community, Kol Beis Yisrael, the house of the Jews, are commanded on Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. Are there any words there that are kind of extra, extraneous, I didn't need?
Yeah, anything after Kiddush Hashem maybe, or yeah, you could substitute some.
Do I need to describe what type of shame we're talking about? Just Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem. And even Kol Beis Yisrael is a strange Lashon, right? Hakol Mitzuvin, Kol Beis Yisrael. Like, do we have that in Kriya Shema? Hakol Mitzuvin on Kriya Shema. Do we have that in Birchas Hamazon? Hakol Mitzuvin, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin to say Kriya Shema. We don't have that. So what's this Kol Beis Yisrael? And then what's the Hashem Hagadol Hazeh? Two questions. Shnei Amar v'Nikdash Tibetoch Bnei Yisrael from a few weeks ago. Umuzhar Shalal Chalu Shnei Amar v'Lo Sechalu Es Shem Kachi. Again, we mentioned this by Abba and Yira. The Rambam is presenting two mitzvos together. This is unique. This one, it's a lot more mistaber as to why he's doing it, right? We can pretty easily see Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem as two sides of the same coin. It's not totally true. Rav Tversky spoke about that also. But at least, let's say in big picture, Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem, more or less are mirror images of each other. Ketzad. Now, what is Kiddush Hashem? I'm going to ask you at the end of this halacha how the Rambam chose to describe Kiddush Hashem. Everybody ready? Ketzad, what is Kiddush Hashem? Kishayamod Ovid Kochavim Biyano Ses Yisrael Lavor Lachas Mikol Mitzvos Hamoris Batorah O Yahargenu. When a goy comes up to me and says, you have to do this Avera, any of the 613, or I'm going to kill you. What's the din? Ya'avor V'al Yehareg. Do the Avera and don't get killed. It says in the context of mitzvos, also pretty recently, you should do the mitzvos and live through them, for them. Mitzvos should not lead to your death. If a person chose to die rather than be over on the Avera, I'm pretty sure that's a joke. I think the Rambam was laughing when he wrote that. You're dead already. It doesn't tell us so much to say v'imeis v'lo'avar harizim eschai v'nafsho. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, halacha aleph, perek hei yisodi haTorah, ketzad, what is Kiddush Hashem? Somebody tell me, what's Kiddush Hashem in the Rambam?
Mitzvos.
What?
Mitzvos.
It's to violate the mitzvot.
Violate mitzvot. Ya'avor v'yaharik. That line should be like, I don't know, Rav Dovi, put it on a shtender. Put it on like the wall in your room. Yeah, what is Kiddush Hashem? Yavor ve'al yehareg. It's a shocking line. That's Kiddush Hashem. Then I go into Halacha Beis Gimel and Dalet, and I see the Rambam qualifies that. Bama Devar Mamurim, the big three. And what Bama Devar Mamurim Befar Hesia. Bama Devar Mamurim B'Shas Hashmat. We're definitely going to qualify this rule, but the Rambam made a very, it seems like, conscious decision. My Halacha Aleph, my intro to the parak, to the concept, is going to be Yavor ve'al yehareg. Very strange. What was the Rambam trying to tell me here? So this is the number one. We'll try to deal with these questions, and then I guess we'll move on for next week. Number one, v'meis lo'avar chayav misa. He's probably joking. He's probably laughing. He's probably telling us that you didn't understand the purpose, the value of your own life. If you chose to give up your life when halacha did not call for it, mischayav benafsho, even if you were still alive, you wouldn't be ro'i to continue living. You're misusing or misappreciating what your life is meant to be for, what your life is meant to be used for. If you were still alive, it would kill you because you don't understand what it's there for. So maybe that's what the Rambam is telling me with Harezim Ischai Ben Asha. Now, the Rambam is clearly very stark about not volunteering to give up your life. There are those who disagree with the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah calls them Rabim the Gam Shleimim. There are a lot of people, a lot of Shittos out there who disagree with the Rambam about this and hold that you are allowed to volunteer to give up your life. If a guy comes over to you and says, eat pork or I shoot you, the Rambam would say, bon appetit, right? Put a little napkin in there, have some tartar sauce and enjoy. There are many who would say, if you feel like this is going to make a statement, this is going to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, you can refuse to eat that pork, and you can take a bullet. The Balei Tosfos have this, and Avodah Zarah, they say that you're allowed to volunteer. The Mukhe Yosef says, if you're a gadol, and you recognize that this is going to be an important step for the tzibur, this is going to make a statement to the tzibur, and we hold fast to our values, then you would be allowed to volunteer. So it's not so clear. The Rambam is very clear. You're not allowed to volunteer. There are other shittos out there. Hopefully it should never be the Maisa for any of us. Okay, so that was point number one. Are you allowed to volunteer to give up your life? The Rambam says no. Other shittos say it's okay. Now, I think the biggest question of the halacha is, why did the Rambam leave out what seems to us to be Kiddush Hashem? Right? Obviously, number one, he didn't talk about being on a school bus and going to like the Museum of Natural History and your teacher telling you, all right, guys, let's all be quiet and behave because they've got to make a big Kiddush Hashem. Like, the Rambam didn't mention that, and that should be like flashing lights rule number one. It's the only thing we ever hear about Kiddush Hashem. And even if you don't want to talk about that, talk about dying out Kiddush Hashem. Where's the mention of what's familiar to us in terms of Kiddush Hashem? So this idea, Rav Twersky quoted from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the Rav's brother, and he said, you have to make sure that, I asked him about it later, he said, you have to make sure that when you present it, it doesn't come off as too drushy. Too drushy, because this is not a drusha. This is not like a nice idea. This is pshat in the Rambam. What is the Kiddush Hashem of Halacha Aleph? There's no mention. We know there's no mention of dying. To really understand, we have to understand the Chai Bahem. Right? The Rambam brings up Chai Bahem as the keystone idea, the keystone concept. We have to understand that at Lefi the Rambam. So in order to understand how the Rambam sees the Chai Bahem, the mechanics of how the Chai Bahem works, we're going to compare him to Rashi, and then we'll see how he writes about it in Hilchos Shabbos, and we'll bring it back to Yesodei HaTorah. Rashi Maseches Sanhedrin talks about one of the big three, Ritzicha. You're not allowed to get, you have to give up your life rather than murder somebody else. The Gemara explains it's a Svara. It's logical. My chazis, the damid didach sumak tvei. My chazis, damid didach sumak tvei. Who said that your blood is redder than that guy's blood? If you're told to kill somebody else, you can't say my life is more valuable. You have to give up your life. So Rashi explains, shelo tidcha nefesh chaveiro. You're not allowed to just push off your friend's life to save your own. Dika tarti. There are two things going on here. Ibud neshama. Somebody's getting killed. And an aveira. Mimnei nashud leka. So that's what would happen if you killed a guy. If you just let yourself be killed, only one thing happens, the ibud neshama, and there's no aveira that needs to be done, lo yavor, and you would not do the aveira. D'chi amar rachmana la'avor ala mitzvos mishum b'chai b'hem, when Hashem said to be over on mitzvos because of b'chai b'hem. Why was that? Mishum d'yakra be'enav neshamas al Yisrael. This is a beautiful, beautiful line. Hashem says, be over on the mitzvos because I care so much about the Jewish people, about a Jewish soul, a Jewish life. If a guy tells you to eat some pork or I kill you, I'd rather give up on the aveira, I'd rather give up on the mitzvah to keep another Jew alive. Yakra, yakra, be'enav neshama shel Yisrael. But, however, what happens by Ritzicha? Someone's going to die either way, right? Someone's getting killed either way. You're not even saving one neshama. So at that point, it doesn't make